Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So Margot the Cat's ambassadorship, PR gifting, modeling roles.
She's basically a feline influencer. A flimfluencer. Oh.
I think if she could be bothered, she could be, actually. I've had another approach on behalf of dear little furry Margot. But I've had to turn this one down. I've had to draw a line and say, no, Margot, it's not good for your image. Cat bandanas.
Oh, my God. I told you, didn't I? Cat people, and I'm aware I'm probably upsetting a huge number of people here.
Including myself.
Cat people, unusual.
I know.
Unusual.
I know.
Where would bandanas come from for a cat? What do you do? What, she like something? She's like being in the Chili Peppers or something like that.
I don't quite know. I don't know whether it's rock star bandana or sort of grungy dog bandana. I don't know, because I just took one look at it and thought, no, we're not going there. It's too much. She has her own lovely furry pelt. She doesn't need any adornments.
You've become a momager, haven't you? Like
exactly.
Chris Jett, like the Kardashians, haven't
yes,
you? You
Chris
are
Jenner.
Managing
exactly
Margot like
Margot.
That.
I know.
Yeah, you're going to be doing riders for her before she leaves the house, aren't you?
It's all out of control. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Postcards from Midlife. I'm Trish Halpin.
And I'm Lorraine Candy, and we're on a mission to help you make the most of your magnificent midlife. We'll be tackling everything from mind and body wellness to HRT and your sex drive. Trish and I are here to help you have a stylish second act and answer all your midlife questions on fashion, beauty, careers, relationships, family, and as always, the challenges and joys of parenting teens.
Thanks, everybody, all you lovely listeners, for joining us on the podcast this week. As always, we are aiming to brighten up your day with a little bit of midlife fun and frivolity. And today we're going to be talking about two of our favourite things, books and fashion. Before we do that, though, Lorraine, I wanted to tell you about something ghastly the teens are doing that's driving me a bit mad at the moment.
Well, we do like to bring our listeners the rough with the smooth, don't we? Because real life does always manage to get in the way of the glamour, doesn't it? However hard we try. Do I need to brace myself, Trish,
well,
for this revelation?
It's a bathroom one, so it is rather grotty. It's not rinsing out the sink after they've brushed their teeth. I mean, it is just so revolting, coming across dried on toothpaste and spit flecked with bits of crunchy nut cornflakes. I mean, it doesn't take a lot to turn on a tap for 10 seconds and rinse out the sink, does it?
Just marvel, because mine do that too, that after all the training, and you know, we are normal human beings with proper hygiene, and we do say things like turn the tap on after you've cleaned your teeth,
but
they still continue to do it. And also that and the loo flushing really upsets me.
Oh, not
well.
Flushing the loo.
Never flushing the loo. I used
so
to put little
gross.
Signs up saying, please flush the toilet. And also we found... this is a disgusting story as well. We found one of those little exfoliating gloves that you can get behind the radiator in our bathroom the other day. And it'd obviously been there for some time and was quite smelly. But who thinks, I'll just put that there.
I'll just shove it. Do you think they probably put it on there to dry and then it fell down the back and it's all full of bits of skin particles and flakes, isn't it, from the exfoliator? Because it wouldn't have been rinsed out.
Oh, no, it won't have been.
Wouldn't have been rinsed out. It'd be all clogged up with, oh, gosh, it is. it's rather unpleasant. But we've had a good bathroom one on the Facebook group this week from Paula, who posted a very funny little picture of the empty loo roll tube on the holder, just left on the holder, completely empty, right next to the bin. Of course, the teenager in her house couldn't manage to actually open the bin and put the cardboard in.
Well, that would have been too much like hard work. Paula said she had no words for the situation, which I think we all understand. It's sort of nitwittery. We had one where, you know, the milk cartons, they don't.
Oh, yes.
They just drink the end and then put them back in the fridge. there was a banana skin in the fruit bowl yesterday. They'd eaten the banana and just put the skin back in the bowl.
Which means they just stood by the fruit bowl, peeled the banana, stuffed it down and just shoved it back.
Stuffed it down,
God.
But there was a great reply, wasn't there, to Paula's thing.
Katie replied to Paula's picture post and she said, I love this, I'm collecting every single empty loo roll ever left by my teenage sons in a secret storage location. And when they leave home and get their own place, I'm going to let myself in and fill their entire home with a lifetime's worth of empty loo roll tubes. That's the attitude. That's the way to do it, isn't it?
I'm going to do it with all the biscuit packet wrappers, where they just put the wrapper back in the cupboard as well.
They're exactly. Like a house full of rubbish. Just save them all up.
That is a very good idea. Like the style, Katie. Now, Trish, there's some great updates on your steam room confession. Mm-hmm. It's gone on and on. It's taken on a life of its own. Now, you talked to us last week about how you were dancing in the steam room in your swimming costume while the Acra aerobics was going on in front of you. Now, Meta, I think is how you pronounce her name, gave us a much better steam room story than that, because she'd been trumped. Listen to what she says. I used to belong to a swanky gym in London, and there I was sitting in only my towel on my own in the steam room, and in walks, brace yourself, the one and only George Michael in a tiny towel.
George in a tiny towel.
I know. Just leave that in your mind for a bit. I went even redder than I was before, and then I didn't know what to do with myself, so I left. I also got asked out by one of the Levi 501 models in said steam room, but that's another story. Now, this is a dangerous fantasy where she's got the real world confused with the dream world, or it's actually true and it has trumped your steam room.
Well, this is what happens if you go to swanky gyms, very unlike my gym, because the only man, the only male interaction really I've had in the steam room is this sort of bloke who, I think he must have been a cab driver, because he just started asking me about my job, about my family, what I thought about Brexit. just like, it's 8:30 in the morning and it is not the chat you want to be having with someone wearing speedos and manspreading across the bench. I mean, very unpleasant.
Don't get me started on the manspreading in steam rooms, which I do find quite common and quite annoying. Mm. Anyway, we've hit the rock bottom with this chat now. I think we need to inject some style and glamour into today's podcast proceedings. I'm really pleased to tell you that we'll be injecting some glamour with the aid of our special guest today, fashion and style queen Erica Davies, who's going to be answering all of your midlife fashion dilemmas.
I'm hoping you're going to be solving a dilemma for me, Lorraine, in our jibber-jabber chat, because I've been experiencing a reading drought. I'm not happy. I just can't settle down to a good book right now, and it's really upsetting me. So you are an avid reader. I think you're going to have to help me.
It's my mission in life, Trish, to help you. I am, as you know, your phone-a-friend.
Yes,
surely you know that by
you
now.
You are my WhatsApp-a-friend.
Right, let's get on with it. Now, for today's jibber jabber, I have an announcement to make, Trish. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit giddy about it, to be honest, because it's about something you and I love doing, probably one of the things we bond over most, I think.
Is it Martini, Maltesers, or maybe Margot? All the M's, I'm thinking.
No, today I'm going to jibber jabber about books. Mm. Now, did you know, Trish, that the average person reads about 14 books a year? Now, I've got to read about 3 books a week because I've been asked to be one of the 5 judges of the 2022 Women's Prize for Fiction.
Oh, that's brilliant. Congratulations to you. That's because you're a writer. You're an author. You're a writer officially.
Stop saying these things out loud. I've got to get through, it looks like, about 50 books by March.
Gosh.
Now, I'm terribly honoured. I'm a bit nervous because the prize is so helpful for female authors. Winning it usually puts them at the top of the bestseller list. The prize money is £30,000 and it's a game changer for new younger
authors. That is amazing. And we do actually know quite a lot about the prize because we had the co-founder, Kate Moss, the writer, the author, on the show earlier this season. And she was so passionate about the prize, which was first awarded in 1996. And previous winners have included some of my favourites, like Maggie O'Farrell, Ali Smith, Naomi Alderman, A.M. Holmes, Zadie Smith, of course. And it's just amazing, the list. But honestly, Lorraine, I don't know how you fit all of this stuff in, because you're already flat out with the cold water swimming, shouting at the teens, all your Instagramming, your social media, doing this podcast. So it's quite amazing. How are you fitting it in? Because I'm not really doing as much as that. I've only got half the number of kids. And it's making me a bit sad because I've lost my reading mojo.
Oh, dear.
I know.
That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you lose your mojo, your reading mojo?
It's funny because it's interesting that you say that the average is 14 books a year that most people read. I think I'm well below that this year, which is probably the first time in forever. And I think the problem is that because the structure of my days has changed, working from home, sort of working part-time, doing bits and pieces here and there, and the whole lockdown situation, and it's almost like my time has gone out of sync. And the whole thing about giving ourselves permission to rest, which we talked about on the podcast last week, and I'm not allowing myself like just half an hour in the day to sit down and maybe read a book, which is probably what I should do. And like when I was commuting, I used to read my books on the commute. I'd be like, to hell with the emails and things, I'll do that when I get to the office. I used to read, it was a real pleasure. So I'm missing that time. So I think it's a time versus permission versus rest situation. So I mean, what advice have you got for me?
Well, we go through phases, don't we? I think of reading. I used to read tons as a teenager, loads in my 20s, and then obviously when you have kids you don't really have time to read them, and it feels a bit like that now, doesn't it? You have to really give yourself permission. So I've discovered something, because I was a little bit overwhelmed when these two massive boxes of books arrived, and I thought, oh my gosh, and I did a bit of the maths and thought that I, you know, this is
And you want to do them justice, because it's really important,
so important for people. And I know what passion, and you know, sometimes books take years to write as well, so I feel quite personally that I have to make sure that I'm properly reading them. But you know what, I've already read 10 in 3 weeks.
What
about you, that
the number of books I've read in a year in the last couple of weeks, months?
So
amazing.
I basically had to sit down and habit stack, which we have talked about before, and I've come up with something which I call literary snacking.
Ooh, a bit like exercise snacking that Nell McAndrew talked about the other week.
Yeah, it's one of those things, once you start, then you're on a roll and you kind of get going. So I might do a chapter when I first wake up. That'll be the first thing I do
before you get out of bed.
Yep, on, read chapter. I'll have moments during the day, like when the kettle's boiling or cooking or something, where I'll have the book, you know, where the cookbooks normally go, resting on something. I'll be putting my book there and I might read a few pages, and it just keeps moving you on and you want to know what happens next. And then I've started to just not feel guilty about going upstairs to read a book while everyone else is watching telly, because it's such an odd thing to go and read a book. You feel a bit like you're doing something terribly wrong. I do that. I get up early one morning a week and sort of put in an hour to read them. I've cut back on a little bit of exercise, and I'll do, instead of doing 45 minutes, I'll do sort of 50 minutes of reading and then half an hour of whatever kind of outdoor exercise I was going to do. It's quite extraordinary, actually, because once you get started, and you can read in the bath, and I am reading on the tube and things when I'm going out and about as well. I put my phone down, doing a lot less scrolling and faffing about on Facebook.
That's good. I'm pleased about that. Yes.
It just makes you really get into it. And then when you're moving from style to style to style as well, it just kind of wakes you up from a kind of reading point of view. I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think I've read The Winner yet. And we read all these books, and then they're all read by at least two people. And then we have to reread after the long list, which we make in March, and it gets announced in June next year. But it's a real sort of learning curve, because there's so many different books out there, and there's about four books I've read that I just would never have bought ever in a million years. And actually, one of them is so brilliant, I feel a bit ashamed that I wouldn't have got that book when I walked into a bookshop. So it's opened my mind to things.
Yes, I think that's the thing, because we can get into kind of the same routines of who we read, what types of books we read. So I think I need to be shaken up a bit with that. But it's interesting what you say about, like, I think what I need to do is devote a bit of time to getting into a book, because quite often it's getting through the first few pages, and once you get into it, you pick up the pace. Because my sister lent me this book called The Other Bennet Sister by Janice Hadlow, and it's about Mary Bennet, so Elizabeth and Jane's sister, Pride and Prejudice. It's her story and takes it on, and she was the sort of bookish, mousy, glasses wearing one. And it was 600 pages. And I was like, you've got to be joking. I can't read it. But because we went away for a couple of days, I had an hour to just sit down in the afternoon and get into it. And it really took off from there. So I just think it's that, isn't it? But our Facebook group, we did put this on the Facebook group and ask people,
brilliant, didn't
we?
Aren't they?
Very good. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of suggestions.
310 by this morning. 310 comments by this morning.
Yeah, we asked everybody what was the book that they couldn't put down this year. And we had so many different ones, didn't we? I mean, I liked in particular Doris, because Doris said, I love this post, especially as I work in a library. So I think librarian Doris knows what she's talking about. She suggested...
You'd like to be a librarian, wouldn't you, Trish?
Maybe I would, actually.
Literally your perfect job.
I think I could do that. Nice and quiet and organised and interesting.
Bossing the books into their places. Colour coding some, alphabetical with some.
I know, I'd love it. I love it. Looking at all the book covers.
Yeah.
But she says some books that I've never heard of that she suggested are Side Splitter by Phil Wang, Malibu Rising by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which was, she said, was fun and trashy, but with a lot of heart. And then Animal by Lisa Tadeo, which of course we had Lisa on the podcast earlier this year. And that is, Doris says, bonkers and brutal, but also very funny, which is probably quite a succinct little snapshot of that book.
I think there were some really lovely suggestions and lots of books I'd forgotten, actually. So I haven't read The Kite Runner, actually, that came up quite a lot.
Yes.
Great Expectations was mentioned a few times. American Dirt, and then Bernardine Evaristo's Girl, Woman, Other came up a lot. Mm-hmm. And a book came up that I thought I was perhaps the only person who'd read this book. Myself and my friend Anne-Marie, it's called The Night Circus by Eric Morgenstern, which is just such an extraordinary book. It stayed with me for such a long time because
it
was so visual.
I can't remember it. Tell me what's it about.
It's about a magic world that sort of exists, and it's a love story and not a love story, and you can't work out what's real. It's about an actual circus and flitting in and out of these worlds. It's a little bit like Daphne du Maurier's Trebarwith Strand, where a man accidentally takes a drug that takes him right back in time, and he keeps finding this place. It's quite extraordinary. I really like The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett, which came up a few times. Hamnet obviously came up, the Maggie O'Farrell one. That list on Facebook is extraordinary, and I would urge anyone who's not a member to go and have a look, because that's your list for next year, basically. And there was a lovely post by someone who said she was so addicted to reading that she went on a hen night, and after the drunken shenanigans of the night out at 4 a.m. she got into bed and got her book out to read, because she couldn't bear doing a day without reading.
Oh, calms you down, doesn't it? Calm down after the Mad Hen night. I like that. I have been doing quite well on the audiobooks, I have to say. Mm. So I think because that's going about your business and listening to them. And I really like biographies. And the one that really stood out for me this year was Sinead O'Connor's Rememberings, because she is just a fascinating person who's had the most unusual, challenging, difficult life. And, you know, she's just a woman who has never abided by any of the rules that are set for women. And I just thought, you know, her story about her sort of childhood trauma and abuse combined with what she thinks is a sort of brain injury that's kind of caused her to be like she is. Very interesting. Very good.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I liked also like Deborah Levy's Real Estate, which was her final book in the trilogy. I have been listening to Hattie Crisell's podcast In Writing, which is really good. Okay. So it's about how writers write. So that's Curtis Sittenfeld, Graham Norton was on it, but it tells you about the process and what they were thinking of when they were writing the book. So if you are really into writing and reading, it's a really brilliant one to look at. And something else that came up on the Facebook group, Chris, did you know about BorrowBox app?
I didn't, but I am intrigued.
Well, this is brilliant. It's a library app, basically. And if your local library is a member, you can join it and you get audiobooks and ebooks for free, which you borrow, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And you can do it for kids' books as well. And also, I'm going to get you one of these. I've got a... Advent calendar for Christmas, Trish, that is a book advent calendar.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
Bookish Kingdom Club on Etsy. they're secondhand books. They're all wrapped in recyclable paper, and they're donated. And you basically get a book for your 12 days of Christmas.
Like,
it's a bit random, so you don't know what you're getting. Yeah. There is a blog called Bonafide Bookworm, which has a really great list of wrapped book advent calendars, mm-hmm. which I think you would like. And also the Mr. Men books come as advent calendars. And
Peppa Pig. That's so sweet.
Yes.
And probably better than bits of chocolate and better than bits of plastic tat or,
exactly.
or lots of gazillions of beauty products maybe that you don't need. A book advent calendar, I like it. That's going to get me back
I'm going to get the
page.
Nation reading, starting
get me
with you.
Reading, yes.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Now it's time to meet this week's special guest, who is going to be answering those all-important fashion questions such as, which shape of jeans will suit you best if you're a size 14? Can you wear print with colour? What shoes will work with a calf-length skirt? And is leopard print really a neutral? Yes, joining us today is style expert Erica Davies, whose straight-talking blog and Instagram account have made her one of the most popular style makers in the UK. Having worked for 20 years in fashion journalism at national newspapers and women's magazines, Erica knows the high street inside out. But in 2014, she took a gamble to leave the media industry and focus her efforts into her social channels, and it certainly paid off. Since then, she has amassed more than 150,000 followers on Instagram who look to her vibrant, colourful and uplifting style and interiors posts for practical advice and inspiration, more of which can be found in her book, Leopard is a Neutral. And she has also collaborated on a number of homes and fashion lines for retailers such as John Lewis and QVC2. Now 45, Erica is married to James, who runs his own PR company, whom she met when they both worked at the Sun newspaper, and they live in Suffolk with their two children, Charlie, aged 11, and 9-year-old Lila. So if you've ever found yourself in a style rut or just want to try something new, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Postcards from Midlife, Erica.
Thank you so much for asking me. I am absolutely thrilled to be here.
So we're going to start by asking you how you would describe your personal style. And maybe you could sort of talk about that by telling us what you're wearing today and what made you choose this particular outfit when you got up this morning.
Well, I think my personal style has really changed since leaving office work. So I've been freelance probably for the best part of 8 years now, and it's really changed. And I think I was very definite in my role and my uniform for dressing at work, and it's taken me quite a long time to find my kind of at-home style. I mean, lockdown has sent me down another spiral where loungewear has been my absolute favourite thing, but at the moment today I am wearing a jumper from Crush Cashmere, some jersey trousers from John Lewis, and my Birkenstocks and socks. Just very comfortable. I'm at home all day, I'm doing admin, I've just dropped something off that my son's forgotten at school. You know, it's just one of those sort of at home days. So yes, it really does depend. I would say normally I'm slightly bohemian. I'm definitely more maximalist than minimalist. I love a Scandi look. I can appreciate it. It's just never going to be me.
Yes, so not the minimalist. And we should just say that this isn't just any old cashmere jumper. It is a beautiful sort of grey, ombre, tie-dye kind of looking. which works very well with your bright red lipstick. I have to say, it's very good. Very good.
In your book, you say leopard is a neutral, which is a very fashion-y thing to say. And you also say, which I love, you can wear sequins every day. You're very joyful and confident about fashion, and it's very much about not sticking to rules, isn't it? So if I'm a listener shaking my head saying I absolutely cannot wear sequins on the school run this morning, what do you say to convince those people who are slightly fearful of coming out of their kind of fashion rut?
I think that's such a good question, because I think dressing joyfully means different things to different people. So for me, it might involve a bit of sequins or a little bit of embroidery or a vintage coat or something leopard print. But for somebody else, it might just be, you know, a little rainbow pair of ribbon or laces, or it might be putting something different in your hair, like, you know, trying out different clips. I think it could just be putting a slick of lipstick on, because that will instantly lift you and lift your mood and make you feel like you've made an effort, even if you're wearing pajamas under a puffer coat. I think dressing joyfully means different things to different people. And what I really am trying to express in the book, whatever you feel good in, you will show that to the world. So it doesn't really matter what it is, as long as it makes you feel good.
So when you say leopard is a neutral, I get what you mean. You can wear it with black, you can wear it with other colours, you can wear it in other colours, can't you? It doesn't have to be the traditional leopard. So what would you wear leopard with in your day-to-day going about your business?
Depends on the leopard. So like you say, if it's a colour, then I might wear it with a similar print or a similar pattern in the same colours. I'm so sorry about the dog. Can hear this?
She's disagreeing with your print. She's saying, talking about cats.
Yeah, I'm very, very happy to wear leopard print with other prints and patterns. I think as long as the tones and the colours match, you can really have fun with it. So if I was to wear a leopard print coat, for example, I might pick out those colours in a striped top or a polka dot blouse. I think Bretons go with anything. So if you've got a brown and
a stripe, don't you, with Bretons?
Yeah, exactly. I'd wear that with a leopard coat and maybe just some plain trousers.
And what about colour? Because most of my career, I just wore black because it was just, you know, I'm 5'2". I didn't want to get too engaged with the trends because so much was expected of a magazine editor. I thought the easy way to deal with this is to just wear black. Obviously, last year when I left my job and lockdown happened, I opened my wardrobe and there was a ton of black. So I thought, hang on, I'm going to wear colour. And you wore a brilliant green coat yesterday with a purple sweater, which I would never assume worked brilliantly. How do you get your mindset into wearing colour? Where do you start? You know, people always told me blonde should never wear red because it would be draining, but I love red. I wear a lot of red now. Where do you start as a kind of in your day-to-day life as for one of our listeners on wearing colour?
I would also agree with you that when I was a fashion editor, all I wore was black because I could go to Zara or any number of high street stores and put things together in black and it would always look expensive, or it would look like designer, you know, something that I couldn't necessarily wear, but it wouldn't be a nod to the fact that I knew what I was talking about and what was fashionable. And I was exactly the same as you. It took me until leaving before I realized that actually that was a kind of work uniform and it made me feel protected and safe in that space, but actually it wasn't very me. And I think my advice to anybody who wants to start wearing color would be to start with something really, really small. And it's the same as, you know, if you're decorating a room, if there's a cushion you like, something will come from that. You might like all the colours in the cushions and you might think, well, I love that particular shade of blue, so I'll do that on the walls. But I love the way that it works with that pink and that yellow. And that makes me feel really positive and happy and uplifted. And I think it's exactly the same for fashion. I think it comes down to, I love that green. The green of that coat is the colour I've got on my stairs. It's the colour I'm sort of naturally attracted to, I think. And I just love those vibrant sort of dopamine colour hits with other strong colours. There are some colours that I wouldn't put with it, that it might look a bit too much. But I think if you match strong with strong, it's always going to look really impactful. It's sort of a process of elimination. I've spent 20 years putting things together on fashion shoots. So I do have slightly more confidence, I think, when it comes to putting things together.
You're fair with blonde hair. What colours wouldn't you wear?
So I don't look particularly good in pastels. I like autumnal colours. So I like those khakis. I like the sludgy sort of khakis, oranges, even brown. Now I'm talking more autumnal. In the summer, I'm much more kind of hot pink, hot orange. I like really bright. I like hothouse colours and then autumnal colours. But I'm not very good with pastels. And actually, I'm not very good with black anymore. I much prefer navy.
Navy is a brilliant alternative, isn't it? So if you start with navy, you can gradually go into then maybe a big bright blue as well. Graduate yourself. Do you sort of clash prints with colour as well, which I love doing now. It's confidence, isn't it?
It's confidence and it's practicing. And I think, you know, while we're at home so much, and we still are, I think that's a really good idea, is to just try things on in the privacy and the safety of your own bedroom, see how they make you feel. And then just, it's baby steps, just maybe put a scarf on with something that might be clashing, or put a pair of shoes on with something that might be clashing, and just see how that feels. And stop worrying about what other people think.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
As anyone who's worked in fashion will know, getting the foundations right is so key, isn't it? With the right underwear, shapewear and tights. I mean, that's your kind of building blocks, especially so in midlife when the old dreaded muffin top can be extra hard to shift. What are your go-to pieces and brands for the right shapewear, underwear and tights?
Well, can I let you into a secret? I ditched the shapewear and I feel so much better about myself, yes. And I've definitely, you know, lockdown hasn't helped. Also, I turned 45 a couple of weeks ago. I am definitely noticing lumps and things where they weren't before. But actually, you know, what can we do?
What can we do?
What can we could do wild swimming, Lorraine.
Yes, yeah. That's not going to change your shape. I can put that out there after 5 years of experimenting with it. My research has shown.
But if you were someone who wanted to wear shapewear, because you've obviously tried it all, where do you get that from?
I like big knickers. So I'm a big fan of big knickers, ones that come right up. Right. And I think you can get great ones from places like M&S and John Lewis, because they sell such a huge range of stock. I love heist tights, and they also do shapewear, which are fantastic. I think anything with that high waistband is going to instantly make you feel pulled in. So always look for that. I'm not a big fan of the kind of G-string type. I like a big pair of pants. And I'm also not a huge fan of the big long cycling short types. Again, it goes back to that comfort thing. And if you're not comfortable, you're going to feel awkward and it's going to affect the way you're sitting. But if you know that you feel supported around your middle, in my opinion, that really helps. It just helps you sort of sit better and feel more pulled in. So I would go for a very high lycra content tight. That's what I would always go for.
And Heist, it's not cheap, is it? I mean, I've got some of their pieces and they're really long lasting. They really do a great job, don't they?
They do. And it's better if you give them a quick rinse by hand rather than put them in the washing machine, which can be a bit of a faff. But I think if you are spending that kind of money and you know that they work, it's worth looking after them.
What about bras? I spend my life saying I'm going to get new bras, and then I spend my life looking at thousands of them and thinking, what, I don't understand, what am I going to, because I've stopped wearing padded bras.
Yes, me too.
Should anyone care? But it's, where do you get your underwear?
A variety of places, but I go back and rebuy the same ones, and I'm incredibly boring. I like nude coloured or skin toned t-shirt bras, minimal padding, if anything at all. I always go for the M&S t-shirt bra. I love Triumph. They've got some great seam-free bras, which are quite supportive and they look quite old fashioned, but once they're on, they're surprisingly sexy. And I also love, if you wanted a bit of
Trish, some of them.
I could do with that, definitely.
She's surprisingly sexy. When you get to know her.
That's all of us. We can be surprisingly sexy. And I also love a small brand called Dora Larson, who does amazing bright jewel coloured pieces. And she takes her inspiration, I think, from the kind of 50s hourglass shape. So it's big knickers, but beautiful colours with different coloured edging and beautiful bras. They're lovely, lovely pieces.
If anyone looks at your lovely Instagram page, I would say you are probably mostly spotted in a dress. That's one of your favourite things to wear. So we are heading into autumn, winter. Dresses are a big search. Where should our listeners in midlife of all different shapes and sizes look for the right dresses? So I can't wear a big dress because I look like I'm a small child wearing mum's clothes. So how do we find what fits, works for us?
I think it depends where you want to wear them. So whether it's for work or whether it's for kind of shopping on a Saturday or whether it's for going out. I'm so sorry about the dog.
Dog wants own show.
You know what? I've left her in the kitchen and it's when a courier or the postman comes.
Yes,
anyway, dresses are my absolute favourite thing. I've always collected them, but it really does depend on the kind of styles you like. And at the moment, it's very voluminous styles. If you can't wear those, then look for the styles that would suit you, which would be a little bit more fitted. It's like nipped in at the waist. And on the high street at the moment, I think places like Arquette, Hoz, I've got some beautiful kind of knitted dresses with wrap sashes around the middle. Don't just think about cotton. Cord is really fashionable at the moment. And
I love cord.
I know.
Very cozy.
Got that sort of touch of old Laura Ashley heritage, which I quite like. And interestingly, I've spent my whole life looking at high street fashion. But now, as a 45-year-old woman, I'm much more interested in supporting independent brands. And I think there are so many brilliant brands doing dresses at the moment. So people like Serafina London, Ray Feather, Cabbages and Roses, who I recently discovered, even though they've been going for years, but their women's wear stuff is amazing. Pink City Prints, all of these kind of brands, they do amazing, amazing pieces in lots of different styles.
And what about lengths for dresses? Because I quite like a, I guess you'd call it 3/4 length, halfway down the calf, isn't it? What lengths work well for different sizes and shapes?
It's about getting the proportions right. So the amount of leg at the bottom that is on show is key. So with you, you'd want to show a little bit more. Whereas I'm very happy, even though I'm only 5'5", I'm quite happy showing very little. Just a flash of ankle for me works fine. And also it depends on your heel height. So if you're going to wear flats, you're going to want to think about that proportional balance. And that comes with trying lots on. I don't want to talk about rules because it all comes back to how you feel. I think probably the three of us actually have spent our lives talking about rules and sharing rules and all of that stuff. But I think fashion should be something that you feel. And if you put something on and it feels right, that's the feeling you should be aiming for.
Now, in midlife, I mean, how relieved are we that the whole dress and trainer thing became a thing? You know, trainers, they're so comfortable. And you know, wearing a dress with trainers is a real look, isn't it? It's quite a sort of staple casual style. But if you can't or don't want to wear trainers, you still want to be comfortable and not too formal, what would be your go-to suggestion?
Well, a flat boot, I think, always works. So, and chunky flat ankle boots at the moment are everywhere. I mean, you can get them from Zara to H&M to more expensive, you know, Bottega versions. But and they look great because they are trendy without being too try hard. With a really pretty floaty floral dress, for example, they'll make it look a bit tougher and it will be more practical for day wear. But I also have recently discovered Fit Flop. And I always thought that they were about sandals, but I went on their site the other day because a very, very stylish friend of mine was wearing a pair of clogs from...
Clogs, Trish.
And I said, are they the Prada clogs? And she said, oh, they're Fit Flop. So I went online and I had a look and they've got the most beautiful kind of fold back ballet flat, but with a bit of a square toe. They're just super practical. So I bought myself some.
Oh, you know, we're going straight after this interview.
And M&S had something similar, the almond toe ballet flats, which were in the softest leather. And they had beautiful colours like butter yellow and, and lilac and these gorgeous colours that you don't often see. And I think they're really practical. Mm. Or go for something like a chunky brogue with a lace up, you know, kind of like a quite a mannish brogue. I think that always looks great.
Just back to boots, though. What about lengths of boots? Because I quite like an over the knee one, but then I feel a bit like Dick Turpin if I do that. What's your advice on boot length?
Again, it's proportional to how tall you are. So a lot of people struggle with knee highs because of that issue. You know, they kind of go over the knee or they're not quite high enough if you're tall. So I've just done a range with John Lewis.
We have. All my friends are buying them like mad. They love them. Yeah, fantastic. They look great. So how did you go about designing these boots then?
Well, I was struggling myself. So I am a size 14. Wouldn't say I have huge calves. However, I've always had an issue trying to find boots on the high street that fit. And I knew exactly the kind of boots I wanted. And I'd go in and I'd look at them and think, well, they might work. And then they'd always stop halfway through. And I did some research, and generally high street boot calf widths are 38 centimeters. My calf widths are 40 centimeters. So it's 2 centimeters, but that makes such a massive difference. And I put it out to the Insta world and I just said, look, I can't be the only person experiencing this problem. All I want in life is a pair of leopard print high heeled boots.
It's not much to ask.
I mean, first world problems, but that's what I really needed in my wardrobe. Couldn't find any. And I've never had such huge feedback. People sharing really moving stories, actually, about the fact that they had to be cut out of pairs in stores and they've never done it again. How, you know, shop assistants were quite rude to them and just said, maybe you need to go and look next door at the extra large outside. You know, all these awful stories were coming through. I thought, this isn't a problem to do with women. This is a shop issue. They're not talking to these women who have got the money and who want to buy these boots. So I did this huge presentation, and I had done a project with John Lewis last year, and I went back to them and said, look, this is my research. This is what's currently available. This is what we're after. What do you think? And they went away and thought about it and came back. So yes, it's their most inclusive calf width sized collection that they've ever done, and it's sold so well.
Well, congratulations. That's really great, really good. And that's the kind of power of what you're doing, and the power of social media and women's voices really saying it's not good enough, because I think the average size, dress size women is actually 16 in the UK, isn't it? And I don't think most of the brands are aiming specifically at that.
No, they're definitely not. But it's with regards to the boots, it's not actually just a size issue, because I was getting messages from women who are size 8, size 10, but who have done gymnastics or have swum or have danced all their lives and do have strong calves. They were having the same issues. It was a huge issue that just wasn't being addressed.
Mm-hmm. That's brilliant. Well done for doing that. Now, you're 45 now then. So in midlife, one of the things, and it comes up again and again on our Facebook group among that lovely community, is I want to change my look. My body's changing, I feel different, my hair's changing, I want to change everything. And I always think, where do you start with that? Because you can't just get rid of it all and say, well, it doesn't suit me anymore. What's the way to build a midlife capsule wardrobe?
Well, where did you start when you opened it and you had all that black?
I just went on to the charity shops and just started buying bright colours. I mean, some work, really? Some do not.
I think it's a similar way to looking at it if you wanted to completely revamp your wardrobe. Mm. And I've talked about it a lot in the book, actually, because there's lots of times of your life, particularly as a woman, you know, when if you've just had a baby and you feel slightly strange and slightly alien and your body doesn't really feel like it belongs to you. Or if you've started a new job and you're not really sure the direction you want to go in or how you want to present yourself at work. And the advice that I give and that I've always given to my friends who are in that situation is, put a rail out in your bedroom. If you haven't got space for a rail, use a picture rail, use the top of a wardrobe, anything. And for a week or two, just keep track of what it is that you are wearing. So if you're wearing, you know, your jumper and your trousers, hang those up on that rail or on the picture ledge every single day. Look at what you're constantly going back to. So look if you're, you know, on a Monday, if you've worn a jumper and then you want to wear it again on a Wednesday, see how many times you're doing that. The other idea is that you could turn it round, turn the hanger around in your wardrobe. So it's obviously, you know, the piece that you're referring to. By the end of the 2 weeks or the 1 week, you will have a capsule. So you will see exactly what it is that you're wearing regularly, what the pieces are that give you comfort, the coat that you constantly want to wear. And then go from there. So look at that as the building block of your wardrobe, and then look at what you want to wear on top of that. So whether that be, you know, you quite fancy, oh, you know, you could maybe wear a little leather skirt with that jumper, and I quite fancy that, and I could wear that with my flat boots or my trainers, and just go from that point. So start with your wardrobe and see what it is you're wearing all the time, and then see what it is you'd like to wear, and then sell everything else, put it in the charity shop, put it on eBay, put it on Depop, get rid of stuff that you just haven't worn for ages.
But it's hard to say goodbye. I always have these things. I've got a really lovely black designer jacket with sequins on the shoulders, and I haven't worn it now for, I would say, probably for 5 years, but I don't know why, but I can't let go of it. Mm. I can't say goodbye to it. It's really hard to get it out without thinking I might need that one day, isn't it? I struggle with that.
But you're also, do you think about passing things down to your children? Mm. You know, would your daughters like that jacket?
They just want the bags.
Okay. Because I'm the same, and I've got really sentimental pieces and samples from shoots that the press office didn't want back and that never actually made it into the shop. But I personally love them, and they remind me of that part of my life. So, and you know, you two must be exactly the same, because you would have been gifted or sent or bought beautiful things. And I just think maybe there's a little section in your wardrobe that you can have the sentimental stuff, but just don't let that be the majority of the wardrobe.
And what about jeans? Do you wear jeans, Erica?
No.
You don't, do you? So, because we get asked so many times about jeans, and maybe did there come a point where you just thought, I'm just giving up on the jeans, it's too hard?
There did come a point, and it's one of the questions that I get asked a lot. And in fact, I've had recently, weirdly, and I haven't mentioned it for ages, I've had loads of messages on Instagram from women who've said, you know what, I took your lead. I just stopped wearing jeans and I looked for other alternatives. So I love, you know, kind of boyfriend chinos, or that I can turn up and I can wear with my trainers. I like jersey trousers that I can wear a big jumper with. There's lots of other examples of trousers, casual trousers, that I much prefer and I just feel more comfortable in. I'm quite pear-shaped, well, very pear-shaped now. And I just don't think they particularly suit me, and I just don't feel comfortable in them. But lots of women look great and it's their go-to. So I think it's about trying to find that shape, and maybe just not necessarily going for the skinny. Look at all the different styles that you can try on. I would suggest going somewhere like John Lewis Personal Stylist or Selfridges, or somewhere, you know, nationwide that has a variety of brands, and just book in, because those services are free. And actually you could just have a private booth with somebody saying, try this size, or could I try that size, and just have lots of them, and then just find your perfect fit.
Yeah,
it's funny, isn't it? Because I think a lot of listeners will say that they wouldn't consider a personal shopper, or they bat away people when they are shopping and someone says, can I help you? And we always advise this, Trish and I, say yes when someone says, because they know the whole collection and you're not under any obligation to buy. If you're going to change your wardrobe, you might as well spend a couple of hours in John Lewis or wherever local to you with a personal shopper looking at everything.
Exactly. And I think maybe that's what stops people, is that they feel that there's an expectation that they have to spend thousands of pounds because they're changing things up. That's just not the case. Even if you go away with a pair of gloves or a new bra, it's dipping your toe in and just letting somebody else help you.
Now, we have changed the way we shop. I very rarely buy anything new anymore because my teenage daughters will kill me if I do that. I do a lot of vintage shopping. Yeah. I shop online. I'm very aware, though, that I know what I'm looking for because I've spent years in the industry and I get advance notice of the sites and I've signed up to all the newsletters. What's your advice for women who want to shop vintage? Because with vintage, you can go a little bit higher in quality, can't you? I buy a lot of designer stuff that would be a similar price to particularly coats and things to new high street. How do you navigate that world as someone who does the volume of shopping that you do and styling?
It's about quality. It's about knowing what you're looking for. It's about being really, really specific. So if you're on eBay, for example, online, it's great to sign up to or follow on Instagram particular sellers. I've got a highlight about vintage sellers on Instagram because there are so many small brands doing that and doing it brilliantly, and they'll create capsule edits. So they might do a coat edit or a cashmere edit or a Christmas jumper edit, you know, anything. They'll kind of have edited that for you, because vintage is very difficult, and it's much easier if you're smaller, I think, often to buy vintage. Whereas I've named quite a few who do bigger sizes as well. That might be worth checking out. But I would definitely say look for the quality, be really, really specific, and ask loads of questions. Don't be afraid to go back to the seller and ask for more photos, more questions, all the measurements, because you just don't know. You know, a size 10 vintage is not a size 10 now. So it's just making sure that you know what it is you're looking for.
Now, the nature of your work means that you have an awful lot of clothes. I mean, I particularly love the pictures you post of your bedroom being really messy. You slide across the photo, the perfect photo, and then you've got all the clothes on the bed and all the mess. How on earth do you keep track of your clothes? How do you edit? How do you transition through the seasons? And what do you do with your stuff when you're finished with it?
Right. Well, I have got a lot of clothes. I try to be as ruthless as possible. I'm constantly editing and editing and editing. I'll say no to a lot of things. I'm in a very lucky position where a lot of brands will obviously want me to wear something because it's a marketing thing for them and it gets their name out there. And I only say yes to the ones that I know I will repeat wear and I will get a lot of love from. But I'm also very lucky that I've got a little walk-in wardrobe in my room. It's not huge and I'm just about to redo this, which I'm incredibly excited about because we have lived in this house for 6 years and not touched our bedroom, so my clothes have been spread out across two rooms. So I tend to do it seasonally and I will change over, so I will pack summer things away and put them away until next year.
How do you do that? Do you just vacuum seal them in a suitcase in the loft? How does it work? Do you put a load of moth stuff in?
Chest of drawers in the spare bedroom. I roll everything or vacuum pack it.
Oh, right.
And then I have mothballs and it's all kind of closed, sealed, put away. I'm 45, you can tell. I've now bought cashmere bags for my jumpers because I was getting a lot of moths and I want to look after them because these are pieces that I will wear and wear and wear for years. It's about investing in better, I think, for me as well. You know, like Lorraine, I'm much more interested in vintage, independent, that kind of thing now, and finding the pieces that I think I'm missing. And then with regards to getting rid of things that I don't want or I don't wear, I will either sell it on. There's a great girl on Instagram again called The Second Row, Katie, and she will sell on a lot of different clothes for you. If not that, then I do a lot of charity shop. I try and be ruthless a couple of times a year and just clear stuff out. Otherwise, it's just overwhelming.
I think you need someone to do that with you, don't you? I get it out, put it on the bed and I fall in love with it all again.
I know.
Idiot. Frish has got a walk-in wardrobe. It's palatial. It's like J-Lo's.
So it's got, not.
Got stacked ladders, you know, fabulous.
In my dreams. Oh my goodness, no.
Well, talk to me about buying things online, because so this is a conundrum, isn't it? It's don't have to go shopping. What a relief. Don't have to get in the car. Don't have to do that. And then it arrives and I think, but I'm a size 10. Why is it enormous on me? And I think, how do you work out the sizing online? What tips have you got for us on that?
I think that's a really tricky one. That's the sort of million-dollar question.
Yeah.
Every high street brand is different. And a size 10 in M&S is going to be different to a size 10 in H&M, is going to be different to Whistles. It's all different. So I think the best thing, again, is just to go and try on in each store.
Right.
So have something, and then have that idea in your head. It's also about, I wouldn't get hung up on sizing, because I personally prefer slightly oversized jumpers, for example. I'm not a kind of tight little jumper person. So I would always go up a size anyway. And I think a fashion editor once said that to me, that, you know, with coats and jumpers and things, always.
Yeah, I always go bigger.
Because it just looks a bit more chic. Trying on, working out which brand comes up small. There's no science to it, unfortunately. It's just doing the legwork and trying things on.
We've got the other million-dollar question now. So the seasons change. We want a list now from you. Autumn, winter. Where are you going for nice autumn, winter? Affordable things that are, listeners would think, are modern and, you know, add a bit of, we're going to say zhuzh, Trish.
What sort of prices are we talking?
I think we probably need to stick around, you know, 100, 200, that kind of thing. I mean, it depends on the item, just that kind of, I've got to go shopping this afternoon. Where am I going for autumn, winter? Well, more winter, really, I guess now. We're in the deep of it, aren't we? Now.
Well, I'm obsessed with coats. Coats, for me, they are your statement. That's your outfit in one piece. So if you can get a great coat, it really doesn't matter. You can be super minimal underneath if you've got this amazing coat on. And at the moment, I think COS are doing amazing coats, Jigsaw, Whistles. Yeah. That's slightly more expensive, but also have a look at H&M for their kind of neutral colors. So the sort of grays, the grays, the beige, the browns, and go up a size. I would say a chunky flat pair of boots And I would say a cashmere crew neck jumper in a berry colour, because maroon is everywhere at the moment. And I wouldn't necessarily even go high street for that. I would look at vintage pieces for that. Look for, you know, vintage men's M&S jumpers in cashmere and things like that online. Just make sure that they don't have any mothballs.
Yeah, that's the problem. Bring a plague of moths into the house.
So Trish is going to be going to all the parties.
Oh, Christmas.
Such a gadfly. She's out and about. Where am I sending little Trish for her giddy party dress, her super sexy sequins?
Slinky. I'm going to be doing a rumba, I imagine, in this dress.
I love ASOS edition. I think they're brilliant at sequins and coordinated suits, you know, kind of the tops with the sequin skirts. I've mentioned Whistles a lot, but they've actually been very clever this year, and all of their sequined pieces are recycled. So there might, if people have got a bit of an issue with buying sequins because, you know, they are plastic, then have a think about sort of vintage pieces or secondhand pieces and look online for, or go somewhere like Whistles where it's all recycled. But yeah, I think H&M is brilliant for those. Warehouse have got this fantastic range of Christmas jumpers, which has just launched, and they're very stylish. Warehouse at the moment are having a bit of a moment. I think their dresses are great.
Mm-hmm. And what are you going to be wearing for the Christmas party season?
Well, I've just invested in a red cord cabbages and roses dress, which I love. Also love Essential Antwerp. She's off again.
What's her name?
Stevie.
Oh, Stevie. Oh,
go on, Stevie. Let it, get it all out. Tell them what you think.
She doesn't appreciate that I'm doing a podcast. Essential Antwerp are fantastic for party wear. A bit more pricey, though. Lovely investment.
And for plus sizes or curve ranges, where do you recommend? I mean, how do you shop if you're a bigger size?
ASOS Curve are fantastic, and they often just go from the main collection, and it's just bigger sizes and versions, maybe with a slightly more V-neck line, right, or, you know, slightly more dropped waist. So definitely that. I think Mango's great for their plus sizes. They've just looked at addressing that, actually. And they used to have a separate brand, and now they've put it all into the one brand. Oh. Places like Kin at John Lewis I always recommend, because they're really modern pieces that have, that I think it goes up to a size 24.
And what about your midlife journey? We haven't asked you about that yet. We've been so obsessed with the fashion.
I know, so much great information.
Do you know what the perimenopause is, Erica?
I do. I think I'm absolutely in it. In fact, I took myself off to the doctor the other day for a blood test, because I'm just not feeling myself at all. But obviously, until you're in full menopause, that nothing comes out. Mm-hmm. So they have to kind of trust you. So I've been referred to a menopause clinic, and hopefully I will be able to go and discuss.
Mm-hmm. Does it feel good to be able to talk about it? Because I think probably if I'd asked you 2 years ago, you wouldn't have known, would you?
I wouldn't have known, and I would have been hiding the fact that I would be going through it, and I would have been slightly anxious about it, and maybe, you know, oh, I can't really talk about that because maybe brands will think I'm too old to be working for them. And there's all of those thoughts, which is just ridiculous. I absolutely love the fact that it's become such a conversation and women are going through it. And in fact, I was talking to my husband about this the other day, because you think back a few generations ago, and these poor women who didn't have any help, any support, had to keep it all quiet, probably going through hell, having to work out what was going on with their bodies, you know, sort of being described as battle axes, and and all of these things were going on. And actually now we're in a position where we can say, yeah, this is what's happening, and it's not particularly great. And but the fact that we can have a conversation about it is so empowering. I mean, I did not know about the perimenopause until a couple of years ago, be completely honest. I was describing it to a friend the other day, and I said, I sort of veer between anxious and arsey half the time.
Sounds about right. Yep.
And I'm not really sure where, you know, the kind of enthusiasm for things is sort of going off slightly. And I don't want to feel like that. I've got a lovely life, and I'm very lucky, and I've got two beautiful children and a lovely husband, and, you know, all of these things are lovely, but I just feel flat. Yeah. And so I just want to sort that out, because I don't think we need to put up with it anymore.
No, and it's great that you recognise that, that's what it is, because so many women just don't. And for you to be able to pinpoint it and say, I think this is the perimenopause, feeling that flatness and that anxiety slash rage curve is... something. But listen, we just want to know, finally, how do you look after yourself and how do you have fun?
Well, we've got Stevie during lockdown.
Mikey Stevie.
Not normally. I'm so sorry.
What is Stevie? What
she
kind
is
of
an dog? Australian Labradoodle, so she's basically a big fluff ball. She's gorgeous. I adore her. She's mine. She's mine. But yeah, she has brought such joy to us all. And we moved out of London 6 years ago. So we live in North Essex, right on the Suffolk border, which is gorgeous. And so I dropped my daughter off. My son recently, well, in September, he started secondary school, which was a massive milestone. Mm-hmm. Can't quite believe I'm old enough to have a secondary school child. But anyway, so he takes himself off now and I will drop my daughter off and then Stevie and I will go for quite a long walk, so about 40 minutes an hour most mornings, which I love. I've also started seeing a personal trainer because I needed to do something. Fundamentally, left to my own devices, I am incredibly lazy and I would be very happy, you know, watching Netflix and doing mm-hmm. a bit of admin every now and then. That would be me. But I need to push myself to do things. I'm certainly not a wild swimmer, Lorraine. I'm sorry to say. Or a surfer.
A wild dog walker, though. That's fantastic.
I am. It really has helped. And yeah. Some mornings I will take my ear pods and I will listen to a podcast, but most of the time I just go with my clear head and come back, then I have my shower, then I kind of get ready for the day, and it just puts me into much more positive mood mm-hmm. in all weather. So I've now got all the weather gear and no idea.
Oh, well, listen, thank you so much, Erica, for joining us. That has been so helpful. I've got a huge list myself of where I'm going to be shopping next from your tips and advice. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely.
Well, there's been some book chat, some fashion chat, some back chat. And now we have reached the part of the show for some back in time chat. Trish, let's get nostalgia noodling. Where have you been?
Oh, well, I was prompted watching TV last night. I've been catching up on Benidorm. Have you ever watched Benidorm?
No.
So funny. I kind of like never went there originally, but then somebody said, oh, you really must watch it. It's very funny. It's like 20 minutes. It's each episode. And it is.
May
it
I suggest
hilarious.
That you use this time for your reading mojo?
Only if it promises to make me laugh as much. And I had such a little moment of joy last night because up popped Wendy Richards in a little cameo role playing a right old
God
battle
rest
axe.
Her soul.
Lovely, lovely Wendy Richards. And it took me right back to the Pauline Fowler days and remembering how exciting it was when EastEnders launched. Do you remember? It was such a big
yes.
deal back in 1985.
Well, that does make me feel very old.
Doesn't it? But she was Pauline Fowler, mum of Mark and Michelle, with lovely Arthur. Do you remember Arthur and his
oh, yes.
her husband? And I just remember thinking, oh my goodness, Miss Brahms from Are You Being Served is Tucker and Suzanne what? From Grange Hill's mum. It was just quite a moment. And then I you know, obviously was thinking about
did you watch some Are You Being Served?
I did. Yeah. Well, exactly. And the thing was that actually ran till 1985. So she
it's,
went from
it's being unforgivable and inexplicable much of that part.
Not for a long time, but
different
she went
times.
From being Foxy Miss Brahms to Battle Axe Pauline Fowler in the same year, which was quite remarkable. And do you know how old she was?
I don't know. It's like the Golden Girls. They always say how old the Golden Girls were.
Well,
they weren't. They were in their 50s.
Well, she was far younger than we are now. I tell you what, when she was wearing those drudgy old cardigans as Pauline, she was 41.
What?
Wendy Richards was 41 when she started on the on
messed
the
up. It's so it's messed
mad.
Up. Man,
I can
it's
say
messed
it.
Up.
Glad to be a midlife woman now rather than
yes.
back in those days. But Wendy Richards, what a star. She was amazing. And that gave me a lot of pleasure thinking about her last night.
Good
what
for
about you.
You? Well, I've taken a slightly boring detour back in time,
yeah.
but it was brought on by my quest to buy some white vinegar
oh,
to
yes.
try and save the environment, having
yes.
read a lot about COP. 9010 or whatever it's called. So anyway, we went green mad in our house
mm-hmm.
last week because we are going to climate change is going to kill us all. So we thought we would try and transform everything. And you know how you'd get up on a Saturday morning, you just want to transform everything immediately.
Oh, yes.
So I thought I'll get some white vinegar because that's the way to clean. None of that, those cleaning fluids. And as I was looking around, I came across, do you remember Ajax liquid? because I was trying to explain to my kids what my my mum was shoving down the sink instead of white vinegar.
Souring stuff.
I had to explain it to them, and then I showed them an advert, which is so funny. You've got to have a look at it. The Ajax cleans like a white tornado. Wherever you put your mop or wherever you put anything, this massive tornado comes out and cleans it from top to bottom. Anyway, the whole of the escapade on Saturday to be greener just made me really, really cross, because then I thought, I'll recycle my soft plastics, you know, my crisp packets and all of that, and couldn't find anywhere within a 10-20 mile vicinity that would do that. Found the Sainsbury's, got to the Sainsbury's, and obviously everyone had had the same thing. And as I put my little bag of wet plastic, soft plastic, on the top of the bin, all of the other bags
all exploded
down and rolled around everywhere. So it was started with the tornado in the morning and good intentions, and ended with me clutching a bottle of white vinegar that had taken three supermarket visits to get, covered in soft plastic crisp packets. That was my day on Saturday.
Oh dear. Do you think the white vinegar would work on the sink stains in my house? From
it
the
does work. Yes,
just does it work? All right, we'll get them on that.
Smells a bit funky, but it does work. Yes. That brings us to the end of this week's Postcards from Midlife. New episodes are available to listen to every Sunday on your podcast provider, and we would really appreciate it if you can make sure to download your episodes, because they count on our listener numbers.
Yes, so please tell your friends about us. We want as many women as possible to join in the midlife conversation, which is what our private Facebook group is all about. So if you're not a member yet, do come on over and join in the chat. We do ask you just to answer a few membership questions, so please make sure that you answer those in order to be admitted. And we are coming to the end of this season of the podcast, and would love to stay in touch with you before the next season begins in early 2022, and the Facebook group is a really good way to do that.
Trish lets you into the Facebook group, so you do have to answer
if you answer your questions. Yes.
You can use the group to post any feedback on the topics we discuss, as well as suggestions for other things that you would like to hear us talk about, or celebrities and experts you'd love to hear interviewed. We've got a really good list coming at the moment, actually. Yes. This week. If you want to contact us privately, you can email us at hello@postcardsfrommidlife.com, or you could put a message on our Instagram account, Postcards from Midlife.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way, so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.